Anyway, remember I said Sunday that Brother McDonald, he preached about, wouldn't it be nice if the Lord had come back? And it just instantly, he saw me back there, so I saw you back there writing. And he said, you must have been working on a sermon, weren't you? I said, oh, it just didn't take me very long, just scratch, and there it was. And so I finished the rest of it at the Department of Motor Vehicles today. Boy, I could spend a long time in that place sitting around. And I don't know if any, well, now I'm on, I don't know if any, well, I'll say it, normal white people, do they ever have to go back into these driver's license places? Every time I go in there, it's like I'm in Juarez. Nobody else is in there. Some of these hotshot guys, they must be able to get them in the mail or something. You know who? I don't get it. But anyway, we probably should back that up and go from here. But anyway, I've just been itching to preach this thing all week. I've been thinking about it a lot. And it's quite a thought, really. But it does. It goes back to Brother McDonald preaching about, wouldn't it be great if the Lord had come back? All of our problems would be solved. Your pains and aches and all that stuff. We could talk about this at the nursing home. Amen. So then I got to thinking, you know, when he comes back, we're going to have all of our problems solved. And it reminded me of the bride and the groom thing. You know, when the groom marries the bride, all the bride's problems are gone. isn't that what they kind of think? Boy, if we ever just get married and everything's just going to be so cool and hunky-dory. I've got down here the when Christ really comes back, he will solve all of our problems. He will prove the truth. He will get his vengeance. Right? He will receive his worship from everybody. He will carry the bride to his garden, Song of Solomon. He will reward his bride, and he will love her eternally. Isn't that an exciting thing? But that's when the Lord comes back. Then I got to thinking right away. You know, he's already come back. Now take your Bibles and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Wherever you found the Lord coming back, that's what you remember of a verse where the Lord's going to come back. And if you couldn't find any verses or couldn't remember any, you need to know where they're at, because that's supposed to be our comfort and our joy and our encouragement to talk about the fact that he is going to come back. Well, tonight, I'm going to show you, he is already come. Almost. I want to show you in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 18. Now, this is not what I'm talking about. So don't sit there and go, oh, I knew it. We're done. We got to go. Look at verse 17 or 16. We're talking about wrongly dividing in 15. So if you wrongly divide, you're actually have profane and vain babblings, and you're going to increase unto more ungodliness. That's what's happening in America. All these Bible versions, ungodliness is increasing because of the vain babblings and the profanity, the profane and vain babblings that are taking place in America. It says in 17, and their word will eat as doth a canker, ever had a canker sore, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. You know what's happening in our churches? People are having their faith overthrown. These guys go into these old path Baptist churches, they mean well, but something's happening to them. In Timothy, it even taught, where's it, right? Think it down in verse, it's chapter 4. That's 1 Timothy chapter 4. Yep, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith. And that's what's happening. They're departing from the faith. They think they're getting back into more faith. They're getting into all these old path churches. They're getting into the seeker garbage. And what they're doing is they're going back to the Old Testament. So actually, they are. They're departing from the faith. Now, if they were truly saved in the first place, they better thank the Lord when the time comes that they didn't lose their salvation. But they're going to find out that they really did some wrong steps. Boy, you're pretty judgmental. Who do you think you are? I do believe I know what this Bible says. And the things that we preached in the last couple months about the greater commission, all these different things. Something's happening. Something's happening. So I just want you to, I don't want you to think that what we're talking about here is the, that the Lord has already come back and it's all done in the whole deal, you know, the resurrection and all that we're done. This would be the tribulation then. You know, and this isn't the tribulation. I might have felt like it for a couple of minutes at the DMV today, but that, if that's all the tribulation is going to be, I wouldn't worry about it. Let's go to 1 John chapter 3. But I do believe in most ways the Lord has already come back. He just has not come back physically. And I don't want to say that's all, because all this other stuff we're going to talk about tonight is spiritual, but it isn't a far out space critter spiritual, it's real. So He has come back for us. He has not come back to somebody who's not saved. Somebody who's unsaved, well, it has nothing to do with this sermon, and that's still why I believe to this day now, what's the purpose of church? Purpose of church is to edify the brethren and fellowship amongst the brethren and learn and grow together and be there to help fulfill each other's needs and help each other. It's not for the lost. That's the greater commission. That's the great commission. Now, a lost person is more than welcome to come in, and you want to try to bring them in. But I know some of you folks, when you brought some of your family and friends, you were more nervous than they were. Because you know they're not going to be able to take almost anything we have to say here. But if all I gear my messages to is for the lost person, and if there's nobody here, you will get bored to death after a while, and after about 7 years, you'll leave the church because you're tired of hearing something about salvation. The church is not for that. It's to build up and strengthen and edify the brethren. So tonight in 1 John chapter 3, I do believe the Lord has come back for us. He's already been here. He's already here. And you know what I'm getting at already. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, Beloved, we now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. Well, we're not like Him yet. Totally. But he has arrived. What is it that John says in the last chapter, second to last chapter of John? Those that what? Believe without seeing. There's a bigger reward there. There's a bigger blessing there than those that had to see. Those that got to see Him didn't believe. And here we are, we're believing, and now we're seeing. So there is something to this. There is going to come a time when He comes back, and He's going to come back physically, and we're going to be physically like Him, and we're going to physically be with Him, and we're going to be physically like Him, and we're going to do the stuff He does, and depending upon your suffering and the whole thing, and I'm still working on that thought about the bride and the suffering and all that thing, about coming back and ruling and reigning with Him, being His bride or whatever, that'll be for eternity. And as much as I just shudder when I think of how long a lake of fire is, it bugs me. It's forever. It's just, there is no ever getting out of the lake of fire. Well, let's quit looking at it that way, Eeyore, and go to the other side. Man, being that perfect bride forever, it's just forever. Boy, that's the better way to look at this thing. So we see there in 1 John chapter 3 that yes, he is going to come back physically, but I believe he's already come back already. But I wonder sometimes if we really think about that. I mean, Brother McDonald got a bunch of good amens the other night when he said, "Boy, wouldn't that be good? Isn't that going to be great when the Lord comes back? Oh, amen! All of our problems are going to be solved. Oh, amen! You know, kicking the feet and all this stuff. You know, yeah, that's going to be an exciting thing." Or, I don't know, you can do a Pentecostal tongue-speaking high kicker. You know, you can really get into this stuff. You know? But he's come back already. Well, you know, when you meet somebody, in most cases, the first thing you see are their face. And we won't get into, we'll just casually mention these things. You know, when the Lord comes back, we see His face. We'll see His face. We have already seen His face. We've already seen His mouth. We've already heard from His mouth. Amen. According to Timothy and a bunch of other verses, those words are the very words of Jesus Christ. So we've already heard Him. Amen. So see, He's already come back. Unless you're not reading your Bible. So here we are. We're sitting here tonight, or this Sunday, we're sitting here thinking, oh, it's going to be so great when the Lord comes back. And yet, and I'm not being judgmental from a pastoral standpoint, I thought right away, are we really going to be that happy? Because we're not all that happy that He's already here. Thank you. I'm glad the heater's off. We've already got Him. Are we as happy now as we're going to be when He really comes back? Well, no, because He's not really back. Oh, He's back a lot more than we realize. If by the time we're done tonight, and I show you all the things that we've gotten from Him, He's already back, we haven't got that much more to go. Just a little physical trip. But He's already here. We've got His mouth. We've got His ears. He already hears what you have to say, amen? Not only that, we trust His ears to hear what it is that we should or should not hear.
Right.
See, He's already returned. Okay, we've got His eyes. We've already got His eyes. A, we get His eyes because He can see everything we're doing. But not only that, we can trust His eyes where He's going, that we could go there too. See, He's already come back. And we're going to be so happy when He comes back physically. Why are we not so joyous today when He's already come back? You know? Let's keep going here. We've got His feet. Oh, I'd love to get some new feet. I figure heaven's going to be nothing but one eternal foot rub. Oh, yeah, imagine something like that. You die, go to heaven. He says, oh, Brother Paulson, getting this little recliner brought up from earth. You know. And sit down and, Gabriel, get over here. A couple thousand years, go for those feet. Oh, you know. Lo, the other angel, come over here, Lo, and you hold him down because he's going to float for a while, you know. No, we've got His feet, and we should know where we should walk. Because we're supposed to follow Him. So we know that He's going to walk the right place because He's already done it once. Okay, so we can trust His feet. We ought to know where we should walk. He's already come. We've got His muscles. Oh, you know. That's not a problem for some of you, but I'm not disappointed in that one. We've got His strength. Can you pick up something heavy? No, but don't you have some horribly heavy burden or some horrible heavy thing in your life that you can't pick up? He can. And I'm preaching to myself right now. He's got the muscles. He can take that burden off you. His burden is light. It's not hard for us to carry with Him. So we've even got His muscles. We've got His confidence. We're supposed to have His confidence. Amen? Confidence in what? That what He has to say is true. These folks that are getting into this other stuff and this old path stuff and this family stuff and this Great Commission Baptist out of control stuff and all this music that's coming in, they have to do that to build a church. If our goal was to build a church here, we'd have to go this route. This is all that brings people in today. We're not going to go this route. We're going to hopefully stay on this route, and we're going to let God send people in because I'm hoping He's going to trust us in telling the right thing, saying the right thing, seeing the right thing, hearing the right thing, because we've already got Him. And these people apparently don't have Him, or else they're just ignoring Him.
Amen.
Well, are we ignoring Him too? Well, I don't know. Are we ignoring Him? I mean, we've got His mouth, we've got His ears, we've got His eyes, we've got His feet, we've got His muscles. We ought to have His confidence. We ought to have His boldness. You know, I've been thinking about this boldness thing. I don't know any place in any synonym book, thesaurus, whatever they call that thing, that boldness means screaming. Boldness is saying the right thing at the right time when you don't want to. Doesn't mean back in Vancouver, and this great famous evangelist had about 6 or 7, 10 people right here, and he preached like he was in some great big huge auditorium, and he said that's the only way he can preach. I just thought, oh, cut it out.
Yeah.
Just when you go home and talk to your family, you have to yell at them all day long. You know, well, maybe he does. You know, a lot of people have to anymore. You know, so this is a very bold book. It just tells you what needs to be told you at the time it needs to be told. And that's being very bold. Meekness, just the opposite. There's some compassion in here too. Now why are you talking about in here all of a sudden? Because see, this is my point. Jesus Christ has already come. And He's come right here. This is where we see His face. These are His words. This is His ears. This is His eyes. We read this thing, we'll know what path to go down. We get into this thing, we have the mind of Christ. Amen? Well, you know, you study your Bible after a couple of weeks, nobody in the world is going to think you got the mind of Christ. You got to stay in your book. And you know, when you want to get your mind working right, you got to base your wisdom on knowledge. You got to base that knowledge on understanding. And then according to the Bible comes the wisdom. That takes a while. Job is pretty big about that. All the time it takes, the older folks, they got wisdom. So if we want to actually benefit from the mind of Christ, it takes us a while. We've got to be in this thing after a while. You can't just pull this thing up for some instant wisdom. I mean, I guess you can. I mean, it's just right there. You know, this verse right here says, my son, I just lost it here. So much for that wisdom here. Well, here's one. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord. Well, that's true. But I'm starting to see that all these churches and all this Great Commission stuff and all these church builders, you know what they're building their church on? And you hear it in the sermons all over the place lately. They're building their church on fear of God. They're getting people to fear. They're trying to get people to fear God. And I'll talk about that Sunday morning about judgment and chastisement. Well, are we not supposed to fear God? It's the beginning of wisdom and all this kind of stuff. Yeah, but there's something going on with that too. There's something going on here. People, Christians, Bible believers are starting to act like they don't have the Lord. We've got the Lord. He's already come. He just hasn't come physically to take us out of here. We ought to have His humbleness. Can't get more humble than Him. Amen. I mean, here's the God of the universe manifest in the flesh, and everybody just spits on Him and does all that stuff. And folks, I think that He was far more humble than we even read about. Just far more humble. So we ought to have His humbleness. We ought to have His comfort. Amen? That's in the Bible. All these things are from the Lord. I was in the nurse home yesterday. One of the ladies, we were talking with Sally and how she's having some hard days, and the lesson yesterday was trying to get people just to be comforted in the Lord. Just be comforted there, you know. And if they have the Lord, you know, the only place that they're going to be comforted is in that Bible. You can go visit them. That'll be comforting to them. But, you know, haven't you ever had a visitor trying to come and comfort you just not at the right time? It's almost not comfortable. But, you know, you can pick up that book and you can realize that the Lord is talking to you. You realize, but it just takes you a while. You learn in your Bible after a while that there's a lot of things that are going on. I've learned a whole lot more about the love of the Lord in the last 5 years than I had before all those years. And I knew God loved me as a Christian. But I'm starting to realize what that really means. But that's taken a while. It takes a while to understand the Lord has come. I realize that. I know one of the things that we've received from the Lord since He's returned. Are you not saved? Amen? Are you saved? Well, if you're saved, He's already given you His faith. We're counting on that. See, He's already come. We're trusting Him that He's given us His faith. Not only that, He's given us His righteousness. He's God's righteousness. And don't we say that we already have God's righteousness? Okay, then He's already come. So, yes, we need to get excited when we sing about the Lord's going to come. You know, someday the Lord will come. It may be soon. Oh, but He hasn't come yet. And we find ourselves just kind of getting down. You know, I just kind of don't think that the Lord's going to come for a couple of years, actually. I really don't. You know, the tribulation isn't all that bad. I mean, it's not tribulation going on out there. Things are going to get rough. And we start talking this way. And before we know it, we don't think the Lord's going to come back at all. And that is against the Scriptures. Right. The Lord tells us to expect Him to come anytime. And I heard a preacher preach. In fact, I was going to make the tapes and give them to anybody interested tonight. Rick Sala preached this thing. And he preaches about every time he preaches. Rick had cancer. Did I tell you that? Rick Sell had cancer for a while and got rid of that thing. And And he said it just changed his whole outlook on life. It does, doesn't it? Your potential death moment there changes your whole outlook on life. And he was saying, I expect the Lord to come at any time. And he says, when I preach a sermon, I expect that to be my last sermon. And that was one of the thoughts that got me through the whole blizzard down there in Utah, other than write some other sermons and stuff. I kept thinking, boy, if I went back to Tushy and I preached every sermon like this would be the last one. And I want to make sure that I said right and did right. And I want to make sure that I didn't let anybody off the hook that he was expecting me to preach to. Because I'm going to answer for what I don't preach to, I'm supposed to. So you think you got problems. You know, well, don't you think that changed my sermons a bit? If this is my last one? If this is my last one, do you think I'd ever quit? Why would I? Why should I? I mean, if he comes tonight, if he comes tomorrow morning, and I've got this other stuff in the back of my mind, and I didn't get it, and I didn't get a chance to preach it to you, no, if I didn't take the time to preach it to you, and then I all of a sudden was gone because I died, or the rapture came, or whatever, and he says, how come you didn't preach that? Well, Lord, I thought I'd do it next week. I thought we're not supposed to boast thyself of what? Tomorrow. And we're supposed to think that he's coming any time. Everyone knows, I'm glad the sun isn't shining. We're supposed to think he's coming any time. Expect him any time. This might be the last time y'all end up going to church. Well, you want to go to heaven with a full bank account? There's a modern preacher message. You know, if you died tonight and the state gets all that stuff. So what we'll do for a couple of minutes, let's take an offering, Lewis. And let's all just think that this we're never going to see church again. Whoa, yes, best good preacher. Run out these checks. All. You know, is your all on the altar, you know? Well, we just get kind of blue the fact that the Lord just might not come for a while. You know, Chuck, your job may not last over there. You might have to go find another one. Jerry, Boise might close any day. Lewis, they might outlaw cows in America. You know? And then you got a mad wife disease. You know? You know? Oh, what are we going to do if the Lord doesn't come back for 30 years? I'm going to have to actually die. I don't want to die. I don't mind being dead. I just don't want to die. I may have to have some of those tests you have before you die. See, oh Lord, please come back. And he's thinking, he says, you know, you think that's rough? Let me here talk to Queen Bessie Shue here and tell you what she went through when she was found of the Bible. You think that test is so bad? No, well, Lord, you know, whatever. Can we not get that way? The Lord has returned. We ought to be high-kicking everywhere we go because the Lord has returned. Who was that preacher guy from the olden days? That everywhere he went. Billy Bray, when he did this everywhere he went. He was just happy and jumping, man, I'm going to heaven, I'm already there type stuff. You know, boy, can't you just see the Texaco Mart now? Louie walks in there, and Nancy and Jerry, they get some of their greased burgers and stuff, and they're going, give me a couple of those Mexican things. Oh, Mexican, hey, you need to get saved. Man, I'll tell you, it is so good. You know, the Lord has come back. I'm starting to go black here. No, I'm just, whoa. But we ought to have that kind of a joy. We say, listen, when the Lord comes, I don't care what's going on, I'm out of here. The Lord has come. Why do we care what's going on? It's just earthly garbage. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. Set your affection on what? Things above. Why? He's already come. You know? Man. When Beck was little, we just were convinced the Lord was going to come. I don't want to have to go through junior high with a girl at high school. Are you kidding? In those days, if I'd have had my thoughts about guns like I have today, there'd probably be two guys that'd be dead by now, and I'd still be in prison for about 20 more years. I don't say their names. One of them ended up in prison for a while. Boy, that's the one I wouldn't let you go out with that one night. Who was that? Come on, who was that? Nick. Nick called up and said, can I take your daughter to dinner? I said, no. If my parents come, no. Oh, okay. Remember that one? Whew. Anyway. But he's come already. Let's look here at, I got so much to get into here tonight. Here, how are we doing? I have plenty of time. See, now here, you're just sitting there, you know. We're so nice. We're so proper. The Lord has come. We're starting to realize a little bit here that, yeah, you know, I've got Him already. I've got His mind in that book. I've got His eyes in that book. I've got His mouth in that book. I've got His muscles, His strength in that book. I've got my comfort in that book. I've got the fellowship with Him in that book. I've got everything I need. I've got His faith. Don't worry about that. I've got His righteousness, because mine still stinks. And we just kind of come and go like this is just another church. So now we're going to have to get rid of these stools, Lewis. We need to have you make us some shin guards here so we can be kind of kicking these things. Because I said I kicked the pews. You know? The Lord's already come. Amen. You know? Try it. If you got the Lord, I got the Lord. We're just so white. You know? We're just boring white people. You know? Man. I don't mind the white part, but the boring part's kind of crummy. Let's look at let's settle down now, and let's look at some Bible verses here. Let's look at Ecclesiastes of all places. I'll give you a long list of things here yet. Well, I know, I just hope after tonight, even myself is just as susceptible to not living the way I'm preaching right here. The Lord has come. I hope I don't, well, Nathan, school. He's already, you know, now let's get past the school thing. Friends. Someday Mike and Beck are going to have to be concerned about Nathan's friends. Well, what about Luke and Stephen's and Paul's? Yeah, but Nathan's the fourth one. What is going to have happened in those three guys that Nathan's going to have some friends? Does he really have to have any friends? Not really, but can you convince your kids they don't need any friends? They think they realize when they get older that they didn't, but you can't tell them that when they're little. So what's coming up in the future? Oh, we need to know the Lord has come. We might have to wait. I might have to live long enough to have y'all come see me at one of the nursing homes. And Jerry and all of us, you know. Come up and see us, you know. Patience will come up and she'll bring her drums, because that's the only thing she found she could play. And she'll come up to bang away the drums just to bug me, you know. Now, she think we got her in the harp now, Jerry, so... She does the harp pretty well. Yeah. just for whatever, look at Ecclesiastes here. Let's look at... we can look at... Oh, let's go to chapter 1, I think it is here. I think that's where I first saw it here. Yeah, chapter 1, verse 2. The verse 1, the words of the preacher, capital P, the son of David, king of Jerusalem. Vanity of vanity, says a preacher... And you go to the last chapter, the last couple of verses, it talks about the preacher sought to find out acceptable words. Vanity of vanity, saith a preacher. So what do we get when Jesus Christ has come? We've gotten a preacher. I'm not talking about me, we're talking about Him. He's our preacher. You get into Ephesians chapter 4, we know that God says, listen, I'm going to give you guys evangelists and pastors and teachers. But before that, He's got the book. And before that, I guess after that, before the pastors and preachers, you got the prophets and you got the apostles. We got Paul between the apostles and us too, because he's the last apostle. Then you go before that, then you got the book. Before that, you got the Holy Spirit. Before that, you got Jesus Christ. And the buck stops with God. He's given all that stuff to us. All that stuff's already come. We're down here on earth. We know that thing in Ephesians chapter 4. We've got all those things to Paul. But Paul, I'll tell you what, you need to be blessed because you've also got an evangelist that comes by and you've got a pastor and a teacher. Amen. A lot of people don't have that. Well, yeah. Amen. The only thing you ever want to kick around here is the pastor. Why did he buy that? You know, why did he do that? Who gave him the hammer? You know, that kind of stuff.
Amen.
You know, yeah. See, Mike, I can't do anything, but it's their job to do these things. So, as long as you're here, you can grab a hammer too. And you've done very well. Done very well, by the way. Well, I don't know. Let me just give you some other things time-wise here. Let's go to Romans chapter 5. I mean, the Lord has come. He's already come with all those things that are previously mentioned. If we go to Romans chapter 5, verse 13, what has He done when He came? Oh, what has He done? He's done numerous things. How's that for numerical things? He's done a lot of things. Romans chapter 5, let's look at this one. It's Romans chapter 5, verse 13. I'll bet we never use that door, but that's all right. You can, because you're my daughter. And Mike goes, you can't talk to her that way. She's my wife now. Okay. Anyway, Romans chapter 5, verse 13 says this, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Look at verse 20. He says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Look at verse 21. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Look at chapter 10. Chapter 10, verse 4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. See, to everyone that believeth. That's us. We believe. What has He done? He's taken away our sin. He's taken care of the law. If He has not come, then He has not taken care of the law. If He has not already come, you're in big trouble. Because if He has not already come, you are still being charged for what you've been blowing. Well, then He has already come. Yeah, He's taken care of the law. Now, He didn't get rid of it. Amen. And this is where I've grown as your pastor, because I remember when I first preached a little blurb I saw, one of those things was that He got rid of the law. No, He didn't get rid of the law. Look at what it says, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. Remember that sermon? Now, as Christians, we're there, we need to establish the law, it says, but it is over for the righteousness. The law is not there for us to get to heaven by. But so He did take care of the law. That's why I say He took care of the law. He took care of it. If you go down here to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. The Lord has come. I feel bad down there. A couple of ladies that are down in the kids club thing. We got to do something about kids club, folks. I'm getting to that. I guess, let's just say this is my last chance to preach. Then there's two ladies and some kids that can hear preaching that are going to miss my last message.
Right.
They're going to miss the fact that we're teaching that Jesus has already come. Just not quite, don't go, not staying us out of here yet. But He's already come to everybody that's in this room, according to your testimony is. That's between you and God, amen. Well, they're going to miss that stuff down there. That bugs me. But John chapter 1, verse 29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. You know what the Lord's done since He's come? He's taken away your sin. So He's already come. Now, He hasn't taken away the sin of the world, but He's taken mine away. And apparently He's taken Lewis's away, because he's been amening all the... You're amening as much as you did for Vonna's funeral. I remember that. You know? You know how, any idea how much you sparked me with that Vonna's funeral over that whole thing? That was Lewis amening up there. All right. That's because he knows one of these days we'll be preaching at his funeral. And he's going to, I can just hear it in the middle of this sermon. Amen! Right back on down. That's because Sue will be behind the coffin with a hand up the back of the sleeve. You know? Amen! And we'll just see how the people can handle that kind of a funeral. Let's go back to Romans. Let's go back to Romans. This is where it's at, is in Romans anyway. You know that. Boy, have I gotten some comments back from the Roman devotional thing already. Yeah. Man, I'm more excited about that than I am music right now. Go ahead and play what you want. I want to type up the stuff out of Romans. It's been really exciting. But anyway, back to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verse 6. What has He done since He has arrived? Well, He's taken away our sin. He took care of the law. Now chapter 6:6, he says here, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Well, He's come and He's destroyed the body of sin, right? Body for sin, that's kind of, but we're still in it, but we are not what? We're not attached to it. That's not bad. I mean, one of these days He's going to come and He's going to take us out of this body, but He's already taken care of it. That's what that circumcision is all about. So see, really, we've already left. In fact, I think it says that in the Bible somewhere. They're already sitting on the right hand of God the Father with His Son. We're already there. And Rex sings it. Sitting on the other side. Sitting on the hand of the Father, something like that. We're already there. Well, when you get up in the morning and you do that awful thing of looking in the mirror, you know, and you just say to yourself, oh, self, aren't you glad that you're not here? Because we're not here. And the young folks, Tyler, he's going, this is when I think the adults go a little toony. You know. The only reason I can say that is because the Bible has told me that. I'm just believing what the Bible says. The Bible says that He cut my flesh away, my soul away from the flesh. So He's already taken care of it up to this point. It's in His pre-destroyed fashion. And when you look in the mirror, you will go, amen, this thing already looks pre-destroyed. And when you go into people's bathrooms that have wall-to-wall mirrors, there's no doubt in my mind at all that this body is destroyed. We're just ugly, worn out, old, you know, hurting. Aren't you glad we can't see our aches and pains? You know that stuff you throw on your teeth to show where the cavities are at, that red gook? Can you imagine if we sprinkle some aches and pain powder on our bodies to show where the aches and pains are? Man, we'd look... Never mind. We'd be back to the old redskin days. I want to go down there. You know, we'll just leave that where it's at here. Well, let's keep going. Look at verse 7. What has the Lord done? He's come already. Verse 7. He that is dead is freed from sin. Well, He's freed me from sin. Now, I'm not out of my body yet, but I'm already freed from it. How can that be? Because the sin that's in me is all on its own. But boy, is there not a battle there? I think that's why we get discouraged and frustrated. Well, I shouldn't do this, but I did. And you know what Paul says. Louis, can you say what Paul said? Yeah, I would if I could, Chuck wood, but I can't chuck wood anymore, so I know that my spirit and the flesh, and I can't do that anymore. I would if I could, but I can't, so I shan't, you know, type of thing. But yet, and you can read it to us if you like. But that's where we are. So we know that we got that problem there. So we find ourselves, I find myself, I don't know about you, whining about the stuff that I should not be whining about. I should be joyous about the stuff that's already been taken care of. Because see, the Lord has come. So, He's freed us from that sin. Look at verse 11. Chapter 6, verse 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. Well, boy, that's pretty exciting. We were dead to the sin. The sin is still there, but we're dead to it. So if we're dead to the sin, according to that Bible, we're already alive unto God. He's made us alive unto God. And if you get into Ephesians, you find out that He made us alive unto God. He made us nigh unto God by His what? Which is what Brother preached on Sunday morning. By the blood of Christ. So, if Jesus Christ has actually come, He's already done what He needs to have done with His blood. Oh, well, that's taking place in Hebrews chapter 9. One quick trip up there. Boy, am I so glad Mary didn't blow that one. I mean, Eve blew it. That is the most important time that a woman could have blown the whole thing. More than all those people together, and for once a woman kept her hands and her mouth shut and didn't touch Him like He said. And she went back and told the disciples, and He showed up, and then they could touch Him. I'm surprised Mary didn't go, what's the deal? And He just said, I had to go to my Father. I went up there, took that blood, and just left it there and came back, and everything's just fine. He's been back already. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Maybe you don't need to go there. Maybe I'll just tell you the verse and you can tell me what it was that took place there. 2 Corinthians 5:21. When Jesus Christ came back, what did He do there? We were what? Made free. We were made His righteousness. Okay, you better look it up. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Boy, if He hasn't come back, we're looking at 2 Corinthians 5:21. There it is. 2 Corinthians 5:21. There it is. Yep. Yep, For he hath made him to be sin. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We've been made the righteousness of God. So if he hasn't come back, you haven't been made the righteousness of God. If he hasn't come back to make you righteousness of God, then your soul is still stuck to your flesh. And that might be why you're so miserable. I had somebody tell us the other day that they believe that they need to still get the baptism of the Spirit. They need to get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and until they do, they don't believe that they can walk the walk they need to walk. You know what that person is? That person is confused. That person thinks that that holy, perfect walk is their evidence of being saved. Now, we could all attest to that is not true. That's just not true. And that's a sad thing that somebody would think such a thing after hearing all the sermons we've been preaching here. Well, they haven't been here for all of them. Just a few of them. That could be a problem. But you know, you get brought up in that holiness stuff, and you get caught up in all this stuff, and you want to do right. And you can end up in more bondage than you ever thought to be. Because somebody's not hearing from Jesus. Maybe he hasn't arrived there yet. Maybe he has, and somebody's gotten steered. He has the newsletters and different things. And we can all get steered easily, amen? All these radio broadcasts and TV programs and things that come in the mail. And if you don't even know about rightly dividing, you might as well pull out Jesus' teachings. You might as well pull out Moses' too. Because it's in the Bible. And all those stuff that you got to do to please God, not knowing that Jesus walked them. And, well, yeah, I need Jesus to make it so I can walk them. That's Seventh-day Adventism is what that one is. It's just a mix. You can divide that stuff up. Remember that Bible that's the fair? Have those paper clips and that thing to rightly divide the Bible? What a cult. Look what that guy does. Tears all that Bible. Didn't it all. But just showed you some of the divisions in that thing. Anyway, you remember a couple weeks ago I preached about being reconciled. Amen? You remember that stuff about being brought back to God. That's in Romans and Ephesians, Corinthians. Let's go to 1 John 1:7. 1 John 1:7. Now we get into this 1 John stuff. Maybe I need to do a little preaching about 1 John. What does 1 John do to a Bible-believing Christian? Well, spiritually, we know for a fact in verse 7 there, it says that the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. So if He's come back already, He's already cleansed us from all sin. That's what it says. Yeah, but if you go to the first part of that verse, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, have we said that? We said that. This is who we got you pegged, Paul said. You are a cult leader, because that isn't true. Yes, that is true. We have no sin. But it's still here. Paul's clear about that. We're dead to it. It's gone. It's been taken care of. It's been circumcised away from the flesh. It's still there. We don't say that we don't sin. We don't say that we don't do wrong. I mean, that's the point. We can, you know, we really aren't sinners, and we really don't sin. I know it's going to sound weird. We've talked about it before. But how can we say such a thing? Because it isn't us doing it. It's the sin that dwelleth within that sinning. It's the sin that dwelleth within that's a sinner. We are cleansed. We're apart. We're away from it. We haven't even had that stuff imputed. It's not even charged to us. We can be pretty cultic with that kind of a statement. Because it says right there, preacher, that it says, if you say we have no sin, yeah, if you go into 1 John chapter 3, he that committed sin is of the devil. If you sin today, well, I did a couple times, you're of the devil. That's a major conflict of preaching. Because we're not of the devil anymore. But the sin that dwelleth within still is. I'm beginning to believe that most Bible believers don't even realize the Lord has come. We are already almost there. And the scriptures say we're already there. We're just inside this body. We're not even stuck to this body. We're just caught on the inside. Do one of those Calvin things. Cut off the head, it's a forehead thing, and see if maybe we can go. Now that would be cultic. You know, Jim Jones gives Kool-Aid and these other guys try to get on a comet, and I come in here with a power saw. We're going to cut off the forehead and go to heaven. And we're going to start with... Is this too fast? I mean, has the Lord already come to you?
If you're saved, the Lord's already come back. And all these things are true.
You know, if you don't confess any more sin, you know you're still saved. Your fellowship with the Lord's going to kind of stink. And the Holy Spirit's going to be quenched and grieved. And you're going to feel pretty crummy about it. But the Bible also tells me in Ephesians, or Corinthians 11 there, 14 I think it is, that if I study that Bible, I'm going to start thinking like a who? Like a lost person in the vanity of their mind. Their understanding is going to get darkened again. They're going to go back into lasciviousness. Going to go back. You can't go back to being attached to the flesh, but you can sure walk after it. Yeah, there's people that can be saved and live in the world big time. The Lord's already come to that person, but they've kind of kicked him out. Well, he can't leave, but there's just nothing happening there anymore. That can happen. Oh, sure that can happen. Could that happen? Oh, sure it can happen. I'll bet you it's happened in here. When's the last time you've been reading your Bible? I don't mean just a nice little devotion. My little Romans devotions are not short little pithy devotions. Marcia wrote back from Idaho and said, "Man, these are not short devotions. This is 5 pages on our paper." I said, "Well, then shrink the print." You know, they're 2 pages on a regular 12 type of thing. So that's not that little bitty book that you can sneeze and be done to the devotion. One little verse about 2 paragraphs and a prayer that somebody wrote for you. Never did like those. But anyway, the Lord's come. And all these things I'm yakking about here, this stuff's already happened. And we're living like the Lord hasn't come, it seems like. So I have a hard time with the job. Well, how long is this job going to last? The Lord's going to come and take me away someday. I won't have to have this job. He's already come. That'll help you get through the job like He's already come. Where's our joy? Where's our excitement? Well, when He comes, I wish I knew He was coming like daylight standard time, and then Central Standard Time, and then Mormon Standard Time, and then Pacific Standard Time, because we know when He's coming. It's like watching the New Year's thing. You can watch it come in France, then you can watch it come to New York City, then you can watch it come to Chicago, then you can watch it come to Salt Lake or whatever. Wouldn't that be neat if the Lord, we could see Him coming that way? You hear that? Hey, in the Drudge Report, Lord has come to Paris, France. Whoa! They call everybody up. Hey, the Lord has come. Serious? Yeah, He's in Paris right now. And I think it's 8 hours away. He'll be here. Serious? Watch the news. And He comes to New York. And, you know, the ball comes down. You know? And yeah, the New York's going crazy. The Lord has come. You mean He really has come? 520-22, and I can't do it. I'm so excited. You know, 2262 or something like that. Hey, Louie, the Lord's coming. Turn off that tractor. Let's get rolling. Or how'd they say that? Let's roll. You know. Well, He makes it to Salt Lake or something. And everybody, we finally believe it. It's all happening, you know. And then some people go out there and they just hand out tracts like crazy. Don't even wait for the fair. Some people go back to their mother-in-law one more time. You know, some of us go to the donut place one more time. I'll bet I see some of you there. Going to go out to town and hand out tracts. Yeah, the Lord's coming back. Let's stop at Popper Donuts just for a minute. I've been eating one of those things for years. We would just be kind of strange, wouldn't we, if we knew the Lord was coming back to get us, actually coming back to get us. He has come back, and He's already gotten us. It's like some people come to church to see if the Lord will come back. Man, He came back before you came to church. For some of you folks, I bet the Lord didn't even come back during church. Came back some other time in your life. Man, Pastor Matovich got the Lord came back to him when he was in the bathroom in Las Vegas. The Lord doesn't care what you're doing. When you're ready for Him to come in, when you're a seeker, you know. No, He's not coming. When you're ready, He'll come in. Don't have to wait for any rapture. Let's keep going here. We can kind of end up on, I got a couple more pages here. Let's go to Romans chapter 5 again here. Something else He's given us. You with me? Now, you're pretty excited. I know, this is probably one of those temporary things. In a couple of days, I'll realize that some folks didn't even hear the message anyway, and they probably didn't even believe that the Lord's come back. But that's a little preachy. That's not really true. Well, yeah, it is true. He has come back. And all these things we've already received. if you believe that he's come back. What else does he give us? Well, let's go to Romans 5:11 here. Let's see here. It says, do. And not only so, but stuff beforehand, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wow. Let me, a couple more verses. John chapter 5. What has he brought back here now? What has he given us? If he's been back in your life, if he's come to you, if he has already come today, or yesterday, or whatever, a couple years ago, whatever, he's given us all these things. What's this newest one? John chapter 5. I can't be right. It's just like, that's not what I wanted at all. I got Romans 5:11 and John 5:11. You know that's a squiggle mistake. Well, go to John chapter 16. That's too bad. That's probably a good verse I'm missing there. Maybe I can see it by just skimming here. Nope, John chapter 16, verse 20. Verily, verily, I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. We have a sorrow down here, amen? Because we know people aren't saved. We know people don't understand this Bible issue thing. Don't you just hate the music that's already starting to come out now that the weather's getting nicer? Oh, I just hate it. They could at least bounce the basketball the same beat the music's playing. That makes it even worse for me, by the way. Just want you to know. No, it's just a sorrowful time of what's going on with all these things. But yet, he says, that sorrow shall be turned into joy. Well now, if we're saying tonight that the Lord's already come, right? Yeah, but Pastor, you don't understand my wife. You don't understand my husband. You don't understand my job situation. You don't understand my health. It hurts. You don't understand our finances. You don't understand. Oh, I understand totally. Because every one of those things, I've got difficulties with myself. But it says, our sorrow shall be turned to joy, and he's going to come back someday and turn our sorrow to joy. He has already come. Where is our joy? He's already come. Hasn't he? That's how bad we want out of our bodies, isn't it? We can ignore everything that he's done for us. Already he's done. It's already been taken care of. It isn't something that's going to happen. It's already been done. Do you realize that? He isn't going to make us clean as soon as we're raptured out of here. We already are. We are so concerned about ourselves and what we think in this worthless body, having these crummy jobs, making this dirty money, living in our houses, want to make them nice enough, want to have a nice enough car, want to have all this stuff. We are so wanting to have what we want to be happy with that we forget about everything that he's done for us so we can have his joy. Man, I have come to realize that I don't have a hard time at all anymore understanding why God wants to just this whole era. That's part of my thing about judgment. I'll save it for Sunday. Save it for Sunday. It's going to go long enough. Let's go to 17. John chapter 17, verse 13. And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. That's what he came for. That they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Okay, if he has come, we ought to already have his joy fulfilled in us, even if we're having some horrible surgery coming up, even if the farming thing stinks in the country, even if Boise might close, even if all the problems Mim has, all the things, Sue and Lewis, 900 years old, you know, and traveling on the road and all these things. Boy, that's just nothing. His joy needs to be fulfilled already because he's already come. Okay, you said that a million times. I'm going to say it for another million. I just don't see it. And I don't see it in me enough times either. Where's my joy of the Lord? Because he's already come. Where's yours? Lewis has got a pretty good grin tonight. You know, I mean, a preacher could almost go another half hour with the smile that Lewis has been giving me for this thing tonight. I mean, the guy's aching. He hurts. He's probably had more apple pies than he can ever know what to do with. And he's just looking forward, and he's just realizing he's already come. Man, forget about that pain going up the lake. Because the Lord had pains all over his body. What's that one little pain? And Lewis goes, well, Pastor, I'll give it to you if you'd like. I've got enough pains. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter. I remember that pain in the leg when I had my back thing. Oh, man, I almost. Let's go to 1 Peter. Never had the rotator cuff torn, though. I'll trust you. I believe that it looks like it hurts. I don't want that one. I almost had some serious pain today. I was driving through the school zone in Walla Walla today, and I was doing the school zone speed, like you're supposed to, zero. And as soon as I got out of that school zone, there was these lights blinking in the siren right behind me. I was like, oh, man, talk about pain. But I pulled over, and he went by me. That was just like the rapture. My sin wasn't accounted. He had something else to do. 1 Peter 1:8 says this, and for if these things be in you and abound, and there's some things up there, but that you don't have those things if you haven't got the Lord. Okay? For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ever wonder why sometimes we're barren? Well, we're living in a land of barrenness, so there's something to that. There's a whole bunch of more preaching about that thing. Unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever tried to teach somebody what you've learned? Doesn't it just get you? Because they don't want to get it. I've got so much stuff I like to teach back in David from when I had them when they were little. But they have a life now. Don't your grandkids have a life now? And your kids have a life and you still got your grandkids and all that stuff?
Yeah.
Don't you wish you could go back and teach people stuff? Well, I wish I could go back and learn this stuff when I was young.
Yeah, amen.
I wish I knew the Lord. I wish I'd have realized when the Lord comes back as a Christian what He's actually going to do for us. I wish somebody would have sat down to me the first night in the back of that church, in that church in Medalia, Minnesota, and didn't play this invitational junk. He would have sat me down to this Bible and said, now that the Lord's come back, let me tell you what He's done.
Yeah, amen.
Let me tell you what He's brought you. Let me tell you what you've got. You've got His mouth. They never told me I had a different Bible then.
Right.
They never told me I had His ears. They never told me to follow this thing at all. They never told me about my sin never being imputed. Matter of fact, I've been through a bunch of King James Bible-believing churches. Never really had that preached to me until I got here.
Right.
As a pastor, shamefully. You guys never should have had me come back. Not just because I can't fish or hunt, which is what my whole test was, because I didn't know this stuff. Like I know it today.
Amen.
Man. Unfruitful in the knowledge. We need to be fruitful in the knowledge of it. Well, let's finish this up here. There's something else he did. Yeah, there's something else he did that he brought us, that he did for us when he came back. When he came back to me, he took care of my penalty. Well, all the stuff that he gave me, that's marvelous stuff. But if he hadn't taken care of that penalty, this stuff wouldn't mean anything to me.
Right.
He paid the penalty for all this sin that he took away. That's what's going on in this stinking movie, The Passion of the Christ. People don't need to, their lives, they're going to realize that Jesus was really beaten, tortured, all that stuff, but even that's not going to be scripturally true. I guess one of the scenes is Mary gets down and wipes up his blood or something. I don't remember seeing that in the Bible anywhere.
Right.
There's a couple other things. I guess you need to read that thing back to read about that movie. It's all about his suffering. Well, I really get kind of choking. I realize what he's done for me. Isaiah 53 kind of gets me. And I just think about it once in a while. Even to stand up here as a pastor and say that he's done all these things for me. He's taken all this sin away. He's done all this stuff. Made me his righteousness. Gave me his mouth. Gave me his ears. All this kind of stuff. And yet what gets me the most is he paid my penalty. He can take away all that stuff. He can give me all that stuff. But if he doesn't take away that penalty, this other stuff is going to go away eventually. But it's not going to go away. He paid for it. For the wages of sin is what? I'm not going to die. I'm going to go right to be with him. The moment that happens, you know, that's a marvelous thing. But there's something else. Go to 1 Peter chapter 4. There is even actually something else. And unfortunately, he's done this already. But he hadn't taken it all away yet from us. What do you mean? Well, all this other stuff I'm telling you, he came and he made us his righteousness. He didn't impute the sin. I mean, he imputed the righteousness. He doesn't even impute the sin anymore, right? See what I'm saying? All that's been handled and taken care of. But there is something that he's already done. And he's already done it for us. But yet, from what I read in the Scriptures, he hasn't taken it all away yet. There's still a little bit that might have to take place in our lives down here. And maybe this is why we get like we get sometimes. No, I don't think that's why we get that way sometimes. We get the way we get is because we're selfish and we're thinking of ourselves. But I'm going to show you what he hasn't taken totally away with yet. I don't think most of us even want to even admit this. Because we just don't want to admit it. We're Americans. We have money. We have houses and cars, and some people used to have dogs. You know, we have things. We have our toys and our guns and our games, and we have nice clothes. You know, we just don't want to admit that there's something that Jesus has already done, but he hasn't taken it all away yet, and that's suffer. We really haven't had that all taken away yet. He's paid the penalty. He was crucified, dead and buried, all that kind of stuff, and been through the whole crucifixion thing. So we don't have to go through that again. Boy, amen. Catholics go through it every Saturday. You know? But if we look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 13, and yet it starts right off with, but rejoice! Oh, phew. Now, I thought for a second you guys were not going to be able to be as joyful as you are now anymore. Remember all that stuff he gave us? Remember all the stuff he's done for us? Give me one of them. What? I can't read handwriting. Come on, speak out, y'all. I've heard you yell at Chuck before. Come on, tell me. What? He's given us his eyes. What has he done for us? Paid his penalty. What doesn't he impute? Okay, what else has he made you? He's made you God's right. All these things. You remember? Am I here getting there? Okay. 1 Peter 4:13 starts right off with rejoice, but rejoice in as much. Oops, there's always a string. Rejoice in as much as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings. Serious? Yeah. That when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Maybe all that we can muster down here is joy. And yet when he comes, and like it says there, when his glory shall be revealed. I can't imagine Lewis already that grin ear to ear. He must have some more exceeding joy coming. I mean, we ought to be joyful. The Lord, he's already done this stuff for me. Man, amen. And then when he comes, how do you do exceeding joy? Kids do exceeding joy when they get little gifts that they think is the neatest thing in the world. Lasts about 4 seconds. They just go nuts and nuts and nuts. Okay, what else is there? You know, but we're going to have an exceeding joy. That's what I ought to call this thing on the website, joy to exceeding joy. We already ought to have joy. And when he comes, and really comes, physically, that thing says we will have what? Exceeding joy. I hope. Lord, oh, not today. Anybody going to be like that? Well, if your kids aren't saved, and they're old enough to be accountable, you'd be pretty disappointed. The Lord comes and... Yeah, but it's the Lord coming. He says you have exceeding joy. That's true. But somebody's not going with you. And here's what I've learned. The tears aren't wiped away until after your kid goes through the white stone judgment.
Right.
So maybe we really ought not want him to really come quite yet. We ought to have tons of joy already. Unless, of course, your kids are young enough. If he comes now, they go too.
Amen.
Yeah. But then again, maybe the husband. Amen. No. We have a tendency, I heard Rex Harrison preach this a long time ago, that we really aren't full of exceeding joy for the Lord's coming. We have joy for our disappearing, or our leaving. We don't really want to see him. We just want to get out of our mess. Lewis, I'm sure, wants to get out of that pain. I imagine Sue's tired of those cakes of pies. You know. And Chuck's probably not happy with the veterans anyway. And Marilyn, I know what you're tired of. And I know what Mim's tired of too. In fact, I know what y'all tired of around here. Wouldn't that be nice to get away from it? But that isn't why he's coming. He's coming to bring himself. Well, maybe that's why we already think the way we do. He's already come to us, but we don't care. We're not going to really care when he comes. We're going to care when we're gone. So when we're looking at where we are right now as Christians, and he's come right here, we're not really all that excited because this really hasn't done much for us yet. So maybe we're not going to be all that excited when he does come because we got the wrong motive in the first place. Maybe we don't get excited about this Bible because we don't get anything out of it. We want to get into this thing and we want to tell him what to give us and we don't get that out of there. Maybe we should just give up and say, Lord, what do you want to show me? And I'll do it. Or I'll think it. Or whatever. How are you at your Bible reading? Well, you know, Pastor, I'm really, really busy. Tell that when he comes, and you're too busy to go. Wouldn't that be awful if he took us based on our desire to go? For the right reason to go. Some of us could go right now because we want to go. No, we want to see him. You know? Anyway, let's finish this thing up here. I guess my final question I got in my notes here is, why is it that we live like he hasn't even come? Well, that's being very judgmental and critical. Yes, but pastors can say things like that. Evangelists can really say stuff like that, then they can leave. You know, but I got to say that and say, stick around and have you tell me why. Are we living like he hasn't come? You ever been offended? You're going to get offended when he comes? You're going to get mad at him? Not today. No, okay. There's nothing to be offended about. Bible says not supposed to be offended about anything. You ever been offended by anything? You ever been confused about something spiritual or scriptural? No need to be. When the Lord comes, he'll straighten it out. The Lord has come. We're just too lazy. You know, that thing I gave you right here tonight, you ought to be able to, man, especially, you ought to be able to pick that thing by now. And there ought to be underlines in that thing. When you go home tonight, you ought to be able to spot all sorts. I preached about all this stuff in here. You really ought to be able to check all that stuff. There's a bunch in there. Clues. Maybe that's why we're confused. We're just not doing with what he said us. And we can be all guilty, amen? You don't understand something? You don't understand Calvinism? You don't understand this righteousness stuff? You don't understand the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Nobody's fault but your own. It is right here. There's nothing that is not in here that's not in here.
All right? Everything's in here. I don't know what that meant. There's nothing not in here. How's that? That's better. It's in here. Nobody's fault but Sean if you don't know what's in there. Having a hard time telling the sheep from the wolves? Nah, not this place. We know the Mormon, we know the Seventh-day Adventist, we know the Catholic stuff, we know the Alpha, we know that kind of stuff. But can you really get down that Calvinistic thing among the family integrated churches that are growing in the country? Can you spot wolves that are dressed like sheep? Lord tells us that they're going to come from within. You could be one. I could be one. Do you believe it? I could be a wolf. I could be a Jesuit wolf that just been getting away with it. And some of you are probably thinking, I've been thinking about that. I've been watching you. You almost preached without your tie tonight. That's one of those casual modern preacher things. Going to get some Dockers next Sunday? Listen to this. I thought this was kind of good anyway. The guy next to me at the DMV probably wasn't too impressed. Today, it isn't what preachers say. You've heard this. It's who says it. I mean, I got about it. I don't have any credentials in front of my name or behind my name except BS. Bachelor of Science. That's it. Now, I honestly believe. I believe this. I could not document it, but I believe that there are sermons that I've done. I look back through these titles. Now, I'm giving the glory to God big time here. Because I look back at these sermons and these titles. I remember what some of these sermons were. And I clicked on some of them. I look at those things and go, man, that is some Bible study. I'm impressed. And, wow. Why no sound doctrine today? A timely warning about queers. That was an Easter message. I don't remember that one. Motherhood, an endangered species. How about the day America dies? Sick and tired Christians. I remember that one. You know, God has done some stuff in these sermons. Three gardens of faith. We lost some qualities of people over that series. Alpha exposed. Oh, man. I wish some people would have heard that thing. To this day, I know what's going on in modern Christianity just because I know about Alpha. I've had more preachers tell me, what's Alpha? What's Alpha? It's not a dog food? You know, actually it is. It's food for dogs, I guess. That's good. I could preach on that one. But I believe that some people haven't given this stuff any credit because I was the one that preached it. And maybe because I didn't even have the right kind of finesse, you know. And that brings me to my next statement. People don't, it's what preachers say, it's who he says, it's who says it, and it's how it's said is so important to people. They don't care what's said, it's who says it, and then how they say it. Probably a guy that's been to college and taken the hermeneutics and the beauty nunics and all these things and taken all these classes and preacher one, preacher two, and preacher three and speaking one, speaking two, speaking three probably could have done this whole sermon tonight in maybe an hour or less. Probably 20 minutes. I mean, I don't know. I could hand you the Bible study, but it's how you said it that I just didn't get it. I didn't like it. Well, that's very possible. But Dr. Ruckman taught me a long time ago, see, I still like the guy from that stuff, that if you're looking for it, you'll get it. No matter how I screw it up. And if you don't want to get it, I don't care how many years I practice this one sermon like evangelists can do, boy, I just envy that. I'd love to give this thing again somewhere. And then again somewhere. And then in about 5 years, this thing will be by memory. I'll be really impressive looking. And then maybe they'll listen. The other day, remember I wore that sport coat the other day? To see if you listen to have a joke? That cost me $80. It cost me $80 to do that sport coat joke. Because I put the mouse, the presentator mouse for the projector in the pocket of that coat.
and took the code down to the Goodwill. Some guy's down there trying to click computers everywhere, you know. So it's how you say something is where people are at today. It's who says it, it's how it's said, and it's when you say it. If you say it at the right time, they'll get it. Now, here, I was wondering if I were going to get an opportunity for this. What's the time? I got plenty of time. I sat in the back Sunday morning and Sunday night. And I'll tell you what. I heard Ronald McDonald. Ken McDonald. You probably get tired of that joke, don't you? I heard Ken McDonald. Good old Ken. Preach some stuff. And I'm your pastor. And I know kind of some things you need. Is that okay to say that? I've been here long enough. And you know what I need too, but that's none of your business.
That's right.
It is none of your business, but I'm trying. I saw some distractions in you folks Sunday morning and Sunday night right when you needed to hear something he said. Different people at different times. Isn't that something? There are some things that come across this pulpit that the devil really doesn't want to have you hear.
Right.
And if you could ever just say, devil, not tonight. I'm going to hear everything. And if your kid just distracts you one bit, shut up. I'm getting my sermon tonight. Two or three times your kid's going to realize, my dad's getting preached at. I better leave him alone or my mouth's going to hurt again. And other things were taking place. That's amazing. It's just amazing how this stuff has been put forth to us, has put forth to me, as much as it is to you. And how I'm afraid to say that I think sometimes people don't give it any credit because of who said it, how it was said, and when it was said. But do you realize, do you know who said this? Jesus Christ said that. You know how we said it? Truthfully. And this is where it kind of burns us all. You know when he says it? Whenever you want him to. You can sit down and read your Bible anytime you want to. I got to work. You can read it at work, maybe. If you really want to, you can take a page out and you can read that page sometime. If you want to read this Bible, you can read it. They'll outlaw praying in school. Get over it. That kid can pray anytime he wants. He just can't stand up on his desk and pray. He can't take a Bible to school. We got some pretty little ones. And if that doesn't work, what do we got? Hide it in your heart. Come on, folks, you're getting upset about some pretty dumb things. Yeah, America's in trouble, but they can't stop us. They took the Ten Commandments out of the government down there in Alabama, whatever. Well, that's a bum deal, but hey, folks, we don't even have Ten Commandments anymore. We got nine. Wouldn't that have been great? You know? Here, you guys can have this one, but we're going to keep the other nine. The media would have gone, what is this all about? Just like the pastors back there in Vancouver, when I said that thing about, we only got nine we have to worry about anyway. What are you talking about? And we really don't have to worry about those. What's this all got to do with the Lord coming? Oh, it's easy. The Lord's already come. And you can't blame me for not getting what he wants to give you. And you can't blame me for how I said it. Because it's all right there. And you can't blame me for when I said it. Sometimes I'll see some people bleeding, and it just kind of happens they leave bleeding more. I didn't mean for that. But I didn't really draw the blood. Yes, you did. It was how you said it. Oh, cut it out. Cut it out. Did I not put... I'm just wishing. I'm waiting. My phone is... I got a headset now for my phone so people can call and talk to me for a long time. I can still get work done. We can do that, you know. I'm just waiting for somebody to call me up and crab at me about a sermon. With their Bible open, of course. And you can more than welcome call me up and say, I don't like how you said that. I would say, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to make you mad or anything. But now that we're over that, what do you think about what was said? Well, you were right. I just don't like how you said it, though. No. We are blocking Jesus' joy because he has already come. Don't put me between you and Jesus. You got a problem with the brethren, don't put them between you and Jesus. What's the point? I'm actually going to get this thing typed up. Fine. I'm going to get this thing typed up. I'm going to put it on the back table Sunday morning. I'd be thrilled if some of you folks wanted to take this stuff and go, man, I just didn't get all the stuff you were saying. Man, there's a lot of stuff Jesus has done for us. I'd like to get a copy of these notes because I like to put a thing in the back of my Bible that says, he's already come, and list them all down. And when you're having a pity party day, open up, or the sermon kind of hurt you or made you mad or whatever, and you just open up the back of the Bible, oh, that's right, he's already come. How can I forget such a thing? Oh, yeah, man, amen. Oh, he's already come. He's already come. That's how we're supposed to be. He's already come. And yet, like I said earlier, we still have some suffering to do. Because what did they do after he came the first time? They killed him. They ignored him. They laughed at him. They mocked him. They killed him. He's gone. He says he's going to come back again. See, he's gone. He says he's going to come back again. Well, we know he's also going to come back again like that. That's exciting. But now we've just been reminded that he's already come back to us.
You know why they want to get rid of this Bible? Is it because of your testimony? Oh, come on. Who do you think you are? Like Jerry used to tell me when I first got here, when Mim wouldn't come. Oh, preacher, don't. Would you say don't flatter yourself. She's not coming just because of you. Yeah, I figured. I knew there a couple times. Every time I get those phone calls, I know it's not Jesus you're mad at. Yeah, Mim. I was just gonna tell you. Yes, you can blame your parents until you're 34.
Okay, thank you.
But they're just trying to kill the Bible.
Right.
They killed him once. They're going to try to kill him again. And that's a terrible thing. Oh, but it's really bad when you hand them the whip. It's a terrible thing when you kind of beat on them a little yourself. Because like Peter... I don't know who that is. I've never seen him before. How's the rooster go? Yeah, I'm such a good bear in that. whatever. Is this your Bible? I don't know. Somebody must have left it there at lunchtime. Cock-a-doodle-doo. You know. And I'm hoping that this is the sermon that you hear another cock-a-doodle-doo. And it's about time that you wise up to the fact that Jesus has already come, and they want to kill him. And you don't need to let them kill him. You got the Bible. This is where all that stuff I gave you tonight, this is where it all came from. It's all in here. So let's stand tonight. Let's stand. Now I tell you, the Lord has come. Almost. That's the title of the sermon. The Lord has come, parentheses, almost. From joy, we ought to have the joy of the Lord tonight, but we really will have what someday? Exceeding joy. Yeah, but you got to have joy to go exceeding. Some folks are going to go from wine to joy. I want to go from joy to exceeding joy. You know? So put your hands on the pews. Let's do some kicking. Yeah, man, the Lord's coming, you know. The Lord's already here, I mean. He can't do this in the front pew, though. So. Aren't you glad that you're not caught up in this garbage and the seeker stuff and the alpha crowd and all that stuff? There's my notes, $9.95. There's a bunch of Bible studies there for you if you really want to find out what the Lord's showing us in that Bible. And if you got a computer, I challenge you to get into the Romans devotional. It's been kind of interesting. If you want me to give you copies, I'll give you copies of it and for the next week or something. I don't care. I mean, God is making this Bible come alive to me. I hope He does it for you sometime. You don't have to do it through me. Don't wait for me to, you know, pad your behind or whatever. I mean, just you can do it yourself. Amen. I don't know what that has. That's on tape too, isn't it? Yeah. You know, we really can't go live. We never can do that live thing. I got to go back and now I got to cool edit this thing and take out that part. Anyway. And Mrs. McDonald's going to go to the next town and go, you know, that Tushy place is really kind of strange. No, that's not true. You're going to Billy Dunleavy's next, so that isn't going to... No, it's in a couple weeks you'll go back and say, you know, those people in Washington are weird people up there. You know, man, Greater Commission, and they think the Lord's already come down there. He's already come. You know, amen. Boy, that's exciting. And if you're sitting here this morning, you're standing here right now tonight, and you're thinking, well, I guess He's come. But if all you're doing is guessing He's coming, you know, I don't think He's come for you. But if you're not a seeker, I sure don't want to offend you. You know, but if the Lord's knocking on your heart, I'll try to plant a seed if I can. Didn't Brother McDonald say that the first seed he got for being saved was when somebody gave him a chick track and then he laughed about it and years and years and years and years and years ago, I think, something like that? That was a seed. Somebody planted that seed. I'll bet you, does the guy that gave him that track know that he's saved, an evangelist now? See, we don't know that. We just don't know all this kind of stuff. Remember that Joshua Durf I told you about there up in... I haven't heard from him again. Well, I'm hoping to hear from him someday. But that was a seed that planted and apparently kind of germinated, but somebody must have tried to yank it out. I don't know. Hope to hear from him soon. You ever planted any seeds that you have no idea? How many seeds have you planted that you didn't even know you planted? Ah, where's the joy? Man, you guys ought to come in Sunday morning. You ought to just come jumping in that back door, climb up the back steps here. Probably Nancy and Mim come climbing through the windows just so joyful. And they'll be swinging like that movie, you know, the Eve was found up in the trees there and all that stuff, you know. We ought to have a real good time. I call you up for fellowship. You ought to say, oh, preacher, come on over. I mean, I just got all sorts of joy. Come on over and let's eat together and have some joy together, you know. You want to come over and rototill my yard? Yeah, come on over. I'd love to have it. Come on, bring that rototill. Let's do some joy together, you know. That's how we're supposed to fellowship. Let's go into somebody's house and be a blessing over there and have a joyful time doing that. Amen. Now when you're done there, come to my office. Have some joy. We got two offices now. You ought to see the other one over there. Joy. Mim. Oh. Tuesday's along is almost a week away. Please, okay. Well, I had some
joy.
You know, yeah. Well, I'll tell you, I had stuff for you this Tuesday. And she calls up and says, you can't come over this week, Patrick, because I just don't want you to, you know. Oh, but I had
some. Yeah.
Oh, you gave it to me the week before. I was really, it's like one of those sermons I'll never get to give now, because now it's too late. I'll save it for next time the phone rings. Jerry, you're always close to the Lord, amen. Lord, come back to you. He's come already, amen. Man, if anybody has, so it's fishermen, you know. It takes the Lord to change a fisherman. Takes the Lord to keep changing them too. And a farmer. He's the original farmer. You know. Adam would have done fine if he hadn't. Anyway. Do you mind, Jerry, dismissive of the prayer and thank the Lord for the fact that He has come and wouldn't bother me if He came tomorrow. Now, is this sermon sufficient for my last one? You betcha this is your last one. You know, you're never preaching here again, there, boy. You get on the road there. Gary?
Dear Heavenly Father, it is good to be saved tonight. Father, I remember Sam Gift, amen. and seeing the joy in him, Father, and there's a man that is suffering, Father.
Yeah.
I just pray you be with him. Father, I do pray that we can see the things, Father, that we need to be seeing spiritually. Father, like the young prophet, the old prophet, when the old prophet said, let the young prophet's eyes be open, Father, you opened his eyes spiritually. And that's the way we need to be to see the joy, Father. These flesh eyes that we have, Father, and what we're looking around in, it's just, there's no joy here. We live in a world with no hope. We live in a world that hates our Lord and Savior. And I pray that that there, Father, would be motivation enough for us to separate from that world. Again, Father, we just praise and thank you. Father, I thank you for the insight and the lightening of our understanding, Father, that's gone on in here. And I just pray, Father, that you keep showing it to us. Father, sometimes we're a little slow at things. And I just pray, Father, that you do keep showing us the truth and give us a heart to accept it. But, Father, let us do more than just hear it. I pray, Father, you give us the strength and the courage as men in this church to put it in practice. And, Father, I do pray for the tracts at the Bloom Stampede and the fair. And every time we have a chance to give a tract out, Father, I just pray you bless it. And a seed would come out of that, Father. And I know you do, Father, because of what your word does say about it. Again, we thank you. I thank you, Father, for the message tonight. And I thank you, Father, for sending your son back. Again, Father, thank you for all you do for us. Amen.
Amen. Have a good, joyful week. See you flying in the back door this Sunday morning.